Okay, we're starting a new Masechet, Masechet Nedarim. Nedarim is all about different ways that you can take a neder. Okay, the general, I'll give a little bit of intro. We can even start, okay, the first intro I want to give is generally we use Rashi as a commentary on the side of the daf. The Rashi here is either not necessarily exactly Rashi, it's not clear. In general, people use the Ran, which is on the other side of the daf. So I'm going to start reading a little bit of intro from... You want to prefer that? That's fine. I'm going to start reading a little intro from the Ran. What we're going to have in our Mishnah... Basically, what is a neder? A neder is when you say, I forbid something upon me. Okay? Generally, the neder is considered that you're saying something about an object, okay, like a food or a something is forbidden to me. And you're saying it's forbidden to me like something else. Okay, now, if you say it's forbidden to me like pig, okay, basar chazir, that's not considered a neder, certainly according to the Ran. There's a bit of a machloket about it, but the Ran says that's saying you're making a neder b'davar ha'asur, using something that's forbidden, that's not a neder. Generally, the lashon of a neder that's considered the real lashon of a neder is something is asur to me like a korban. Okay? Like a sacrifice would be forbidden to me to get benefit from. Okay? So that would be the lashon of a neder. I'm vowing that something is going to be like something else. This is called hatpasa. You're putting it on the lashon of something else. Now, there's a whole machloket about whether you have to have hatpasa in a neder. It has to have that like something. Okay? Some people say, no, it doesn't have to have hatpasa. You could just say, this is asur to me, okay? But saying it's asur to me like basar chazir, that's definitely not a neder, okay? So you have an option of either saying it's asur to me like a korban, like something that's, you know, generally considered asur to me, but not because it's asur, you know, but because it's holy or something. And then they're saying something is asur to me, okay? Now that's different. So that's the category of neder. That's different from a shvua. What's a shvua? A shvua is, I am forbidden to do something. Okay? It's an isur, what we call an isur gavra. The isur is on me, rather than the isur being on the object. Okay, now obviously they both relate to me, because I'm saying it's forbidden for me, right? This food is forbidden to me. But the focus in the neder is on the object, and we're going to see this throughout. Okay, it'll come up also on today's daf. But the neder is on the object, and the shvua is on yourself. Okay, so that makes it different. There's other differences, but there's different types of shvuot we learned about. Some are with Shem Hashem, some are not with Shem Hashem. Neder is generally not with Shem Hashem. Shvua, some shvuot are with Shem Hashem, some shvuot aren't. So you can't say that's a clear-cut difference because shvuot have both categories, but neder definitely only has this one category. Well, we're going to start off with today. If we'll just read for a minute. For those of you who have the regular Gemara, we'll read in the Ran for a minute. He says, Kol kinuyei nedarim, okay, first he's just going to give an intro. So, neder hu be'achav mishnei nanim. There's two types of nedarim, okay, this I didn't get into yet, we're going to read it from here. Im nidrei hekdesh, shu makdish lebeda kabayet olam izbeach. Right, we know in the Torah it talks about kol neder u nidava, if you promise to bring a neder or nidava to the Beit HaMikdash. That's called nidrei hekdesh, okay? That's one. And the other is nidrei isur. Okay, that's on the third line. O nidrei isur, sha'asar alatzmo dvarim hamutarim. Okay, that's a separate thing, right? There's two different types. One is I'm vowing that I'm going to bring something to the Beit HaMikdash. And another is I'm vowing that something's going to be asur to me. Now, Masechet Nedarim, we're dealing with the second type, the nidrei isur. Okay, we're not dealing with nidrei hekdesh. That, it's places in Masechet Kodshim. Okay, that's in Seder Kodshim. Okay, that's not its place here. We're talking really, and that's what he's basically saying. Umesechet zeu hi be'inyan nidrei isur. Shema sheshina kan charamim ke charamim. Now we're also going to see in a minute, the Mishnah's going to talk about charamim. Charamim, also you can say something's cherem for the Beit HaMikdash. And cherem, you can also have cherem isur. And then he basically says, the charamim mentioned here are not the ones that are for the Beit HaMikdash. They're the ones that are, you know, it's another lashon of saying something's forbidden to me like cherem, right? So it's another lashon of a neder would be like a korban, and a cherem would be like a cherem, okay? Cherem is just another, it's just another way of saying something is mukdash to the Beit HaMikdash. Okay. Fine. So let's stop here and let's start learning the Mishnah. We're going to have, I'm happy to answer your question now. I'm just going to say, like always, when we start a Masechet, it's like the beginning of a movie, right? You don't exactly know everything that's going on until things start to unfold. So we're going to, as you know, we're going to see these issues coming up as we go along. We're going to answer lots of questions later on also. Yeah.
Maybe they'll answer this later, but what would be the motivation of somebody to make a neder?
Okay. So then we have a whole question is what motivates someone, and is this looked on as a positive thing or a negative thing? And what happens if you make a neder? What are the ramifications if you don't keep it? So those are all basic questions. We can talk about them for about a minute or two. But again, we're going to see all these things inside. There happen to be two psukim that show that it's important to keep your neder if you keep it. So you're basically over on a mitzvah asay if you don't keep it. And there's also, I'll read one of the psukim. I brought it on the sheet from Bamidbar Lamed. This has a lo taseh and an asay in the pasuk. Okay. Ish ki yidur neder lahashem, o hi shava shvua. Okay, if someone makes a neder or a shvua, here we see both the neder and the shvua together in the pasuk. Le'esur isar al nafsho, to forbid something to himself. Lo yachel dvaro. What does it mean, yachel? Lo yichalel. He can't desecrate what he said. In other words, meaning it's a lo ta'aseh to not keep your neder. And then here's the aseh, kechol ha'yotzeh mipiv ya'aseh. He has to keep what he says. So that's number one. You have to keep your neder. Number two, is it a good thing or not a good thing to do a neder? So first of all, who remembers from Kohelet? Tov asher lo tidur, me'asher tidur ve... What's the pasuk? Tov asher lo tidur, me'asher tidur ve... I think even if you're going to keep your neder, I think the pasuk says it. Here, quotes it in the beginning here, 1 second. The Yerushalmi says, for example, I'm going to quote another thing. Lo dayecha b'masha asra Torah, elish aser alecha dvarim achirim. Is it not enough that the Torah forbids so many things and now you're going and taking a neder on other things? So there's many sources that look, that show that nederim were frowned upon. Okay, even though there's a whole masechet about it, right? And people obviously did it, but they're definitely frowned upon. You're better off not making a neder. Number one, we have enough isurim. We're not a religion that believes in forbidding more than what's already forbidden. Okay, it's not our approach. Although you could say, I'm sure there must have been people that would have that approach. Here's the other asay, I forgot. Motzas fatecha tishmor, in Dvarim it says. You know, keep what comes out of your mouth. Okay, so that's another thing. And the pasuk in Kohelet is, tova sher lo tidur misha tidur velo tishalem. Okay, in other words, okay, he does say it's better not to take a neder at all than to take a neder and then not be able to keep it.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
When Hannah vowed to give her son, if she got, what kind of a... Because it's not something asur aleha, whatever, it's just...
That's a different category. So you have to always remember, what we're talking about in the Gemara is relating to things that were already established at the time of, you know, the Gemara and by Cheney and after. The Nevi'im generally don't necessarily coordinate with the categories that are discussed in the Gemara.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a much earlier time period. And she's just making a promise, whether it was a halakhic promise, that's a whole different question. What?
It could be
like a neder hekdesh, right? Except generally we don't bring people as second. Right.
Yeah,
I think it was a unique category and not necessarily. Right. I don't know if it's ever brought up here in the Masechet. We'll see as we go on. But I don't know how much they, you know, generally the Nevi'im, there's so many things that sort of seem like they're connected with things we learn in halacha, but they're very different. Like the halacha wasn't established in the way it was in the time of the Gemara at that point. But it's a good question. It's something to look into. I don't have the answer right off the bat. You know, I have to look into what it says there and whether there's any lashon of neder and to see later on the Masechet. Maybe they actually do learn something from there. I don't know. But it's a good question.
And are there issues of Baal Tosif?
Baal Tosif? No, because Baal Tosif is taking a mitzvah like sukkah. Baal Tosif has very specific definitions. A mitzvah like sukkah that has 7 days, and then you say, I'm going to sit 8 days. That's Baal Tosif. Or 4 batim of tefillin, and you're going to add a fifth. Those are like the classic examples. Here, it's true it's biruach Baal Tosif.
Right.
It could be you say it's biruach, but it's not an isra Baal Tosif to add a neder. You can't make a neder. It's just frowned upon. Because they don't want people to get into situations where they're going to get stuck and want to get out of them and have trouble getting out of them.
So Hatzarat Nedarim on Yom Kippur.
Yes.
This is the Nedarim they're specifically
talking about. So right, those are the Nedarim they're talking about. Okay, when you made a commitment and now you can't keep your commitment. And then the whole question, again, we're getting way off what is in particularly our daf, but it's important in the beginning to get a little into it, but What do you do when you want to get rid of a neder? There's two ways of getting rid of a neder. One is lahafer nedarim, and that's what we saw when the husband can be made for the nedarim of the wife or the father of the daughter, and we're going to get into those things. And that means he's basically erasing it entirely. He's canceling it. There's hatarat nedarim, and then he's canceling it. Most of my freshmen understand he's canceling it from that moment that he hears about it, right? And he cancels it. It's canceled from that moment on. But hatarat nedarim is usually when you come and you say, and you don't really need a reason for hatarat nedarim. Hatarat nedarim, and that's what we say on Erev Rosh Hashanah. If you, let's say you have a neder that you made and you want to get rid of it on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah, we basically do a general in case we promised something that we didn't fulfill. But if you know of a neder you made during the year, then you specifically go after everyone does their hatarat nedarim, you go to three people and you say to them, I want to be matir a neder. And then they ask you, or you have to tell them why. In other words, and you say, I didn't realize that had I realized, I never would have made this neder. And then that's called hatarat nedarim, and it works retroactively. Because it basically means that from the moment you took the neder, you never really meant to take it. Okay? And then we're going to learn this third thing, which is what we also do in hatarat nedarim and in kol nidre, which is we say that lahaba, okay, and that's a whole other thing, I'm canceling anything I say in the future is not going to be, like, it's not going to count. Okay, we're going to see in the Gemara where that comes up and where the source for hatarat nedarim comes. I'm pretty sure, I remember learning that Gemara, I'm sure it must be in Nedarim. Anyway, we'll get to it about, and then you have to realize the whole Kol Nidre and Hatarat Nidre and the Widu Erev Rosh Hashanah of Yom Kippur Yom Kippur night is not mentioned in the text in the Gemara. It started in the time of the Gaonim, and that's an interesting thing in and of itself. Hopefully, I'm pretty sure the sources are in the Darim, and we'll see them. Okay?
So is Nazir then the paradigm for a neder?
So Nazir is another type of neder. It's right. It's its own category. That's why we have Masechet Nedarim. And our next Masechet, shockingly, is going to be Nazir. Because Nazir connects with neder. By the way, why are we learning Nedarim now?
I would think because right after Ketubot.
Because the husband can be...
The woman made all these...
What? The woman?
First of all, we learned about how you don't want to marry somebody or
if they have Nedarim upon them.
And also
right.
The Shavuot that they had to make, the woman had to make in front of Yitomim or.
Aha, uh-huh. Okay. So that's Shavuot. Masechet Shavuot only comes in much later. But what does Nedarim really connect with the husband and wife? With the fact that he can cancel her Nedarim. And that's really where this comes. You could say it connects a little also to the other stuff, but it really comes here, it seems, because of the relationship between the husband and wife, and that's dafka why Nedarim is here, not Shvuah, because it can't be made for her Shvuah. There's no such thing. It's Haparat Shvuah, like that. Right? A husband can only be made for the wife's Nedarim. So that's why it comes up here, and once we're in Nedarim, then we get into Nazir. Okay? And then we're going to get to Sota, which, first of all, why would Sota be next? You could tell me. Smichut Parshio, between the Nazir and the Sota. Yeah, right. Okay? And it also relates to Nashim, but, it all connects. And then we're going to get back to Gittin and Kiddushin, okay? Which would make more sense to stick them right after Ketubot, right? But that's the order.
Well, actually, there's something you wouldn't want about Gittin coming right after.
Right.
Not the right message.
Right. Okay. So now we have kol kinuyei nedarim kinedarim. So instead of, this happens very often, instead of addressing it head on, the neder itself, it immediately starts with, like, it takes the neder as a vadai, and then it moves on to what else counts as a neder? A kinuy, what's a kinuy? A nickname, okay? Something that sounds like a neder can also be considered a neder, okay? I want to just give another example of this. The first Mishnah in Shas is Me'matai, it never says there's a chiyuv of kriyat shema. In fact, the Gemara starts immediately and says, where's the Tana standing that all of a sudden he's starting to talk about shema at night? Like, whoever said there was a chiyuv of shema in the day and shema in the night? And, it's a very, it just throws you right in and assumes you know what they're talking about. So that's the same thing here. Neder is vadai. Now we want to talk about other lishonot of neder that count as a neder. So kol kinuyei nedarim kinedarim. Any lashon of a kinoi, okay, a nickname for a neder. So, for example, okay, I don't want to get into this because we're going to see, it's going to come up, the Mishnah further on is going to tell us what all the kinuyim are, but I'll give you some examples. Like if you say, hare alai ke konam, or kikonas. Do you remember in Kol Nidre? Kol Nidre v'yasareva charameh v'tikini. I don't remember all the words, but v'kinu ye. Okay, it says kinu yim. Okay, v'charameh v'kinu se v'kinu, right? V'kinu me. All those words, those are all kinuyim of nidarim or haramim or shvua. Okay? So, yeah. So these are all kinuyim. We're going to see, there's a homachloket. Where do these kinuyim come from? Are they lashon nochrim? Are they from the non-Jews? Okay? Or are they lishonot that the chachamim came up with? Okay? Most of them sound very similar. Instead of korban, konam, konas. Okay? Instead of other ones, we'll see, you know, similar nazir, nazik, Pazik, like all these strange lishonot. Okay, so we'll get into the machlok between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, what the issue is here, you know, where they came from. The other thing is, by the way, if you make a neder in any language, it's also a good neder. Okay, if you say, I swear, that's a neder. Okay, so kol kinuyei nederim are judged like nederim, they have the exact same status. V'charamim kecharamim, same thing with cherem, u'shvuot kishvuot, u'nizirut kenizirut. Okay? If you say something that's like nazir, it's also you become a nazir. Ha'omer l'chavero, mudrani mimcha, mufrashni mimcha, meruchakni mimcha. Okay? I am nador from you, I am avowed to you. I am separated from you. I am distanced from you. Okay, now the assumption is it's one of these three lishonot is the first part of what you're saying, and the second part of the phrase you're saying is one of these next two lishonot. Shani ochelecha or shani to'em lecha. Okay, so I'll just give you an example. Let's say you say, mudrani mimcha shani ochelecha. Okay, that would be the sentence. Okay, it could be obviously any of the permutations of the first three plus one of the last two. So I didn't calculate how many options that could be. Okay, so now what does it mean? This is what's called yadot. Okay, first we started with kinuyim, now we move to yadot. The Gemara today is going to all be literally what's going on in this Mishnah and what's the structure and why there's some weird things about it. But what do we have here? Yadot means, what is a yad?
Handle.
Okay, so a yad is a handle. So there's two different explanations. One is that a yad, what's missing here is you don't have a lashon of a neder, basically. You just say, mudrani mimcha, mufrashni mimcha, shani ochelecha, meaning, I'm going to be separated from you, that I won't eat anything from you, meaning I won't get benefit of food from you. Now, it doesn't have the real lashon v'neder, like this is usur to me, like something, or even without the like. There's no lashon of asur here, okay? So now, there's actually machloka, whether it's shani ochelecha or she'eni ochelecha, okay? But anyway, it's a bit of a different lashon of a shvur, of a neder, and the whole question is, right, this is a yad. It's either a handle, which is only part of the object, right? It's touching the object, but it's not exactly the object itself. So it's like a neder, but it's not exactly a neder. Or it's like a hand, which is just part of the body, right? So it's just part of the neder. You're missing the rest of the statement. So the halacha is that this all works, okay? All yadot also are asur, okay? Meaning not asur to say. It's asur to him. Whatever he forbade himself is forbidden to him. So now we have halacha. You can either make a neder, which we said is either with hatpasa, like it has to say kikorban, or maybe it doesn't even need that. It just has to say asur. Then we have kinoy, which is instead of saying kikorban, you say kikonam, let's say, or something else. And then we have yadot, which is you don't say the words asur alai, kiss something. Right, you're missing that part, but you have another lashon that seems to imply that I'm forbidding something upon me. Okay, all three of those work according to the Mishnah. Now we're going to have one case that they weren't sure what to do with it. Minu de ani lecha. Minu de has two mashmaliyot. Either it could mean nidoy, excommunication, which is not a lashon of a neder at all, in which case it wouldn't be anything. Or, by the way, the Mefarshim kind of explained that it means minudeh ani lecha she'ani ochel lecha. It's also, it's one of those, it can be used as the first part of the phrase, if you use it as the first part of the phrase, and then continue to say she'ani ochel lecha. And some people say, no, minudeh means I'm distancing myself from you. So if I'm distancing myself from you, well, that's just like meruchakni and mudrani, mufrashni. And then it would work. So there's a machloket about whether it works. And Rabbi Akiva hayach chochech bezela hachmir. He wasn't sure what to do, but he seemed to say that we should be machmir on that. In other words, he was debating, and because he wasn't sure, he said, let's be machmir here and treat it as if it is a neder. Okay? It's seemingly here that not everyone agreed with him, because only Rabbi Akiva is listed here as having done that. So that's why this case is a little different. Okay. Very straightforward Gemara now. We're going to say, First, we're going to compare this Mishnah. Okay, this is very common in the beginning of a Masechet. Often, the beginning of a Masechet has some literary questions here, like kind of like the Mishnah in Brachot that I just told you. It was like, where is he coming from that he does this? So now, what are they going to do? They're going to compare this to the beginning of Nazir, the next Masechet. So first, I'm going to read to you. It's on your sheet. Okay, the beginning of Nazir. Nazir Perak Aleph Mishnah Aleph. Kol kinuye nizirut kinizirut. Oh, sounds very familiar, right? It's actually mentioned in our Mishnah already. Ha'omer aha, hareze nazir. Oh, aha nave, nazir, nazik, nazir, paziah, hareze nazir. Those are all the kinuyim. And aha is saying, I'm going to be like him. Okay, let's say a nazir walks by and you say aha. You say, I'm going to be like him. That's a lashon of a nazir. Okay, that's basically taking, that's a kinuy of a nazir. Instead of saying, I am going to be a nazir, you kind of say, oh, like him. That works as a nizirut. And also, hareza nazir, oh, aha, oh, sorry, if you say aha hareza nazir, or you say aha neve, I don't know what the neve is, nazir, nazik, I guess it's another word, neve, nazir, nazik, nazir, paziach, hareza nazir. I'm not sure what the neve is. But anyway, what do you have here? You have very similar to our Mishnah, except what? Our Mishnah mentions neder, cherem, shvua, and nazir. This Mishnah only mentions Nazir. So that's going to be the Gemara's question. Kol kinuye nidarim kinidarim. First it quotes our Mishnah. Maishna gabe Nazir delo katane lehu lekulhu. It doesn't list all those other cases. Maishna gabe nidarim de katane lekulhu. Okay? Why in nidarim did it mention all of them? Who can think of an obvious answer, which is actually not going to be the one the Gemara brings? What's the obvious answer?
Because here we're talking about all of them, and there were.
So either you say Nazir is different, or
they did it already.
In other words, our Mishnah sets up right, like you're saying, it sets up the framework for a whole bunch of them, and the next Masechet kind of starts off where this Masechet started off, you know, and it's just springboarding off, which makes a lot of sense. But the Gemara doesn't answer that for some reason. The Gemara answers more like Shari said, which is Nazir is different. Why? Or more like Nidarim is different. What do they answer? Mishum de neder ushfua ktive gabe hadade. Since neder and shfua appear together in the pasuk, that's the pasuk we read before, right? Ish ki yidur in Bamidbar perek lam and pasuk gimel. Ish ki yidur neder la Hashem o ishava shfua le esur yisar al nafsho. Here, neder and shfua come together in the pasuk. Often the Mishnah mimics the Torah, like it takes the structure, just like we said a few minutes ago, that why is Nazir so to after Nazir? Because the Torah put them together, right? So the Mishnah also put them together. So here, there it's, you know, order of Masechto, here it's within a Mishnah, but since, even though Shvuah isn't our issue, right? I told you, Masechet Shvuot is in Nizikin, okay? It's not even in here, in this Seder, okay? It's in Nizikin, it doesn't come up in Nashim, also it's not relevant for Nashim Shvuah. So now, what do they say? Since neder and shvua were mentioned in the pasuk next to each other, that's ktivik abehadadi next to each other. So tani tartin. Therefore, it mentioned both of them in our mishnah. Here we're going to go. Became a tani tartin tani lekulu. And once they were already mentioning two things, and were already, let's say, in other words, getting off the topic of neder, they said, "Oh well, let's mention other things also." Okay, that's the first question. So now, if you say that, then what would be the better structure of the mishnah? According to this, the litany, then it should have said in the Mishnah, kinuye shvuot batar nidarim. It should have been the order of nidarim shvuot, just like, right, nazir sota, right? Nidarim shvuot, cherem, nazir, right? Or wherever you want to put nazir and cherem. So what are the answer? And what is it? What did it do? It did neder, cherem, shvuot, nazir. So why wasn't shvuot put next to nidarim? We're saying that was the whole reason it was brought here in the first place. So what do they answer? I did the tani nidarim de mitzar chefta ale, tananami charamim de mitzar chefta ale. La fuke shvua de ka'afsar nafshe mina chefta. Here you have, okay, the gavra chefta distinction. By the way, this is something that here appears in the Gemara, but you know, many times in yeshivas nowadays, they try to put all sorts of Isurim into this chefza gavra distinction. Okay, it's very common to, but here it really is the most blatant and obvious, and that's why the Gemara says it, that nidarim and cherem are similar to each other in the sense that they're ostering an object on a person, where shvua is ostering a person to do something. Okay? We're going to get into later, when we see this more inside, we're going to get into, you know, ramifications of this and differences. Okay, I'll give you an example of like a neder and a nedava, for example, by korban, where it's very obvious the difference. A neder is saying, I'm going to give this animal to the Beit HaMikdash as a korban. And a nedava is saying, hare alai, I'm going to take it upon myself to bring an animal. So now what happens if you set aside an animal and then the animal dies? So in a neder, you said the animal's dead. Well, now I don't have to bring an animal as korban because it was on the animal itself. Whereas if you say, I'm going to bring a korban, it doesn't matter if the animal dies, you still have to bring an animal as a korban. You have to replace it with a different one.
Okay? This maybe in Yuma?
Yeah, probably.
So would you say one is on an object and one is on
exactly.
an action?
Exactly, right. Or one is on an obligation on the person himself, and one is...
Related.
I mean, they're right. It's an action. Yeah, yeah. So what's another difference? Now I just remember another one. If you say, I'm going to take a shvua that I won't sleep. Now, sleep is not something that is tangible. So you can take a shvua on sleep because you can say, I promise I won't sleep. Right? I swear I won't sleep till this happens, let's say. I don't know. But you can't take a shvua on sleep because sleep is not an object. There's no chalut. It's a davar she'en bo mamash.
Take a neder on sleep.
I'm sorry. You can't. That's what I meant to say. You can't take a neder on sleep. You can't say nadur alai shena. You know, you could say I'm taking a neder on my eyes that they won't close or something. That you could say, but you can't take it on sleep because sleep doesn't have mamash. So that would be another distinction between them. Okay. So now we've answered it. That explains why we go neder, cherem, shvua, nazir, and explains why cherem, shvua, and nazir are all mentioned in the Mishnah, because it started with shvua, added it because of the connection to the pasuk, and then added the other. But then when it came to putting it in order, they put it in a more logical order in terms of categorization. Okay. By the way, I remember learning in university that generally the beginning of Masechtot and many Masechtot, and this would probably be typical for that, are later the Sfaraim, which is the generation after the Amoraim. Okay, the Tanaim was 0 to 200. Amoraim, who wrote the Gemara, were from 200 to 500. And from 500 to 800, which we don't have a lot of literature from, but we actually do. And as we don't have books written, but a lot of what they did before, once we get to 800, then it's all the Gaonim time period. And then we have a lot of literature and we know about other things that were lost. But when it comes to that generation, people generally wrote their notes on the side of the Gemara, and ultimately it got incorporated into the Gemara. So there's a lot of stuff that's later than the Amoraim, and typically this is one of the things that typifies them, because this isn't typical Gemara. They're dealing with, you know, literary stuff. Like, why are these things mentioned in this way, as opposed to halachic stuff, or, right, it's a little bit of a different type of thing. So it could be that this would be also Sfaraitic. It's possible.
Okay.
Right, because it's a different style. You can feel the difference in the style. And it, often the beginning of a sefer would have Sfaraim sugyas. Okay, so now we're going to have more questions. Okay, patach b'kinuyim, kol kinuyei nidarim, u'mifaresh yadot. Where do we have mifaresh yadot? Ha'omer l'chavero mudar ani mimcha. Here's question number one. The Mishnah says, Kol kinuyei nidarim kinidarim, charamim kacharamim, shvuot kishvuot, nizirut kinizirut, and then it gives an example of a case of yado. It never says what a kinoy is, right? And I told you already, I gave you a sneak preview, that's going to be in a few Mishnayot from now, right? Or I don't remember if it's the next one or two after that. It's going to start to explaining what a kinoy is. But instead of explaining first what a kinoy is, it starts to explain what a yad is. Okay, so the first question is, why did it start with kinuyim and then start explaining a case of a yad? And then, vitu, yadot in inashe. It doesn't even say the words, what should it have said? It said, kol kinuyei nidarim kinidarim, v'kol yadot nidarim kinidarim, right? It doesn't say that. It's missing a line, almost, right? It should have said, kol kinuyei nidarim kinidarim, given an example of kinuyim, like if you say konam, konas, etc., and then it should have said, v'kol yadot nidarim kinidarim, and then it would have given this case, ha'omer, right? Ha'omer l'chaviro mudrani mimcha mufrashni mimcha. You follow? So it's missing words, and the order is out of order. It goes from kinoy to yad, number one, without an intro to yad, and number two, it goes straight from kinoy to yad without explaining kinoy, and it's only going to explain kinoy later. So what's going on here? So the first answer is, deals with the first question, the second question, which is, where do yadot come from in the first place? Why did we mention them? So the answer is, the Mishnah is actually missing words. It really should read like this, right? Chisur mechasur means it's missing words. Hachi katani means it should read like this. Kol kinuyei nedarim kinedarim, v'yadot nedarim kinedarim. Okay? It should have said, that's really what it means. Either, right, there's a mistake in the way the Mishnah came down to us, those words got lost, or just read it as if it says those words. Okay? So it should, which resolves problem number two, which is, where does it mention yadot at all? It really should be mentioned here. Okay, so the Mishnah should read, Kol kinyei nedarim kinedarim, v'yadot nedarim kinedarim, Kol kinyei charam, right, mecharamim kecharamim, relating to both the kinoy and the yad, and shvuo kishvuo, right, yadot kiyadot, nizirut kinizirut, and then it starts to explain yadot. So we still haven't explained, why does it go, right? This is what we call ABBA structure, right, like in a poem. Okay? So this is ABBA, basically. It starts with kinoi, it goes to yad, it continues to explain yad, and only after does it go and explain kinoi. So the Gemara is going to say, so now the Gemara says, v'lifrosh kinoi in bereisha. So again, so why doesn't it explain kinoi in first? Why does it do ABAB? So what do they say? Hahu desalik mine, hahu mefarish bereisha. The last thing it mentions, it starts to then explain. Okay? Kiditna, now we're going to have a slew of cases where this goes on in the Mishnah. Okay? Basically, in other words, it's very simple. As soon as the ABBA structure happens in Mishnayot all the time. Here we go. Bame madlikin uba eme e madlikin. Okay? We say this every Friday night in shul, right? Second parak of Shabbos. With which stuff do we light and with which stuff don't we light? And the first thing it says is ein madlikin, right? Lo b'chalechesh, lo b'chosen, lo b'chalach. Okay? So here you have it. What do we light with? What don't we light with? And we start with ein madlikin. Bame chomnim uba me ein chomnim. What can we use for hatmana and what can't we use for hatmana? What's hatmana? If you take food and you cover it entirely, like you wrap a blanket around your pot to keep the heat in. So there's certain ways you can do it and there's certain ways you can't do it. Like, for example, if there's a heating element underneath, it's a problem. If there's no heating element, then it's not a problem. So that's b'meh tomnim b'meh ein tomnim. So again, what does it start with? Ein tomnim, A-B-B-A, right? Only after does it get to the what you can be tomnim. First of all, so far we've had all these in Shabbos. With what can a woman go out with? Bereshit Arabim, right? When there's no Eruv. What can she walk out with and what can't she walk out with? Remember, we have the whole thing with the jewelry because she's going to show her jewelry to her friends. So she can't go out and Bereshit Arabim with her jewelry on. Okay, and then what does it start with? The first Mishnah is Lo Tetzei Isha. Okay, it starts with the Lo and not with the first case. So now, that's our answer. Very simple. The Mishnah chooses an ABBA structure in general. Gemara says, well, what do you mean? The Mishnah always chooses ABBA? We have other cases. Now we're going to see a whole slew of cases where it doesn't do ABBA. Okay? Bekol hecha depatach lo mefarish bereisha. That is everywhere it says it doesn't start with the first case. Vehatnan, don't we have these cases? Yesh nochalinu manchilim. Nochalim velo manchilim. Etc. Okay, we don't list all the cases here. Ve'elu nochalinu manchilin, and then when it gets to the cases, it starts with the first case, nochalinu manchilin. What does this mean? There are some people who get inheritance from the person, and also that person inherits them. For example, a father and son. If the son dies, the father inherits him. And if the father dies, the son inherits him. So it goes both ways. But there's cases where nochalin velo manchilim. What does that mean? You inherit, okay, like a son inherits from his mother. If his mother dies and there's no husband, the son inherits the mother's property. But she doesn't inherit the son's property because women don't have laws of inheritance, right? She doesn't get the inheritance of the son's property. So that would be a case of that. And then again, what happens here? Ve'elu nochalinu manchilim, right? So they go back to the first case and they start listing it. Okay, Yevamot, if you remember this one. Yesh mutarot lebalehen v'asurot liyivmehen. There could be a case where a woman is permitted to marry her husband, but she's ushered to marry the Yabam. What would be the case? An almana to a Kohen Gadol. Let's say the Yabam is a Kohen Gadol, but his brother is just a regular Kohen. So she marries the regular Kohen. He dies. She falls to Yibam, to the brother, who can't marry her because he's a Kohen Gadol. And the flip would be Mutarot liYivmehen v'Asurot liBalehem. Let's say they were forbidden to marry their husband because he was Kohen Gadol, but she went and married him anyway, and then he dies, and then she falls to Yibam, to his brother, who's a regular Kohen. She'd be Mutar to the Yabam, even though she was ushered to her husband. Okay, and again, what does the Mishnah start with? The first case, Elu Mutarot liBalehem v'Asurot liYivmehen. Okay. Yesh te'unot shemen ulivona. A mincha, korban mincha, is usually made of shemen and solet, right? It's like you would put it like in a, some are done in a frying pan or some sort of mixture of flour and water and oil. And also, you would often bring livona, this to make it smell good, okay? The frankincense. So, there are certain things that are ta'un shemen vilivona. Certain minachot are shemen velo livona, okay? And it goes on to say, some are livona velo shemen, and some are lo shemen velo livona, okay? Like an example, by the way, of one that's livona velo shemen that we've seen, if you remember the livona, where did they put it? On the shulchan? With the lechem apanim. Because the lechem apanim was brought with livona. It wasn't brought with shemen. It was brought with livona. Okay, that we've seen. So again, what does it start with? Eila tu'unot shemen u'livona. These are the ones that need shemen and livona. And they start to list those. Again, they go back to case number one. Yesh tu'unot. You wonder if the people writing the Gemara here wanted to just have you get exposure to all sorts of other things. And they wanted to bring lots of cases, right? By the way, one of the cases they didn't bring, I was surprised, is the first Mishnah in Brachot. It starts with Ematai Korin Shema Ba'aravin, and then it goes from Ematai Korin Shema B'Shacharit, and then it says B'Shacharit Mevarech Shtayim Lefaneh V'Echad Lachareh, Ba'aravit Mevarech Shtayim Lefaneh V'Shtayim Lachareh. So it starts with Arvit, it goes to Shacharit, then it goes from Shacharit to Arvit. It goes ABBA, and the Gemara talks about it there too. Okay, it's very similar. I know it doesn't quote all these cases, but it has the same thing there, the same answer. It's ABBA, it basically answers. Okay. Next case. Yesh ti'unot hagasha ve'ein ti'unot tnufa. There's a halacha of being megish. Okay, there's a pasuk. Let me just find it for a second. Right, if you look in the Ran, at the third to last line at the bottom. Ti'unot hagasha, she'agish ha'kohenet ha'mincha be'keren dromit ma'aravit. There was a thing about dafka walking the mincha to the corner that was dromit maravit. Why? Because it says zot torat hamincha hakrev ota b'nei Aaron lefnei Hashem. Hakrev they learn as bring it close to God. And then it was mefarish in this parak hayamivi, which what does it mean to bring it lefnei Hashem? It's the keren dromit maravit. It's that particular corner. Okay, why they say that particular corner, I don't know, but that's the corner they decide. So there's a halacha for some of the minchot that they have to be brought, okay? Hagasha. They need this hagasha to the Kerem Maravit Dromit. And then there's a halach of tenufa. What's tenufa? So also he explains it well, the Ran. There's certain things that need tenufa. Where do we know this from? Right? The she'alechem, for example, the korban ha'omer, you need to be molich u'mevi, male'o mori molich u'mevi. And where do we see this? In sukkah. Why? We said that the ni'anu'ei lulav were learned from the tenufa, according to one of the opinions. Right? That you're supposed to be menif la'arba ruchot. Okay? It wasn't the only explanation, but one of them was that they learned it from here. So now, some of them need hagasha ve'ein tu'uno tenufa. Tnufa velo hagasha. Again, there's going to be, it doesn't quote us all, hagasha velo tnufa. And I assume there's lo hagasha velo tnufa, I think. Okay, and then it starts with ve'ele tu'unot hagasha. It starts to go through what they are. Okay, this is another one that you probably know about. Yesh b'chor le'nachala ve'ein b'chor le'kohen. You could have a b'chor that gets pishnaim, but he doesn't get a pidyon ben. Why? Because, okay, either a C-section, right? Or remember, it goes by, what does it go by? How do we determine a bechor for pidyon? By the mother. If he's a bechor for the mother, peterechem. And bechor l'nachala, obviously nachala always goes through the father. So let's say someone's remarried and the woman already has a child and the husband doesn't have any children. If it's a bechor for the father, then he gets pishnayim. But he doesn't get pidyon because he's not a bechor for the mother because the mother had kids from another marriage. Okay? And the flip would be the opposite, right? If it's the father has other sons, but it's her first, so her first would get a pidyon, and his first would not get nachala. So yesh b'chor l'nachala ve'ein b'chor l'kohen. B'chor l'kohen ve'ein b'chor l'nachala. Ve'ezehu b'chor l'nachala ve'ein b'chor l'kohen, etc. Okay, so again, it goes back to case number one. So, now we have a problem. We have ABBA in our Mishnah and all the Mishnayot we quoted, and now we have a whole slew of Mishnayot where it's A, B, C, D, A, B, C, D, let's say, right? Something like that. So what's the answer? Halen mishum da'av shule mefarish ahu depatach bereisha. Since those lists were much longer lists, now I didn't check each one, and I'm not sure all of them have four cases, but many of them have four cases. Because it's A, B, C, D, it's confusing to do A, B, C, D, D, C, B, A, right? Better off A, B, C, D, and then go through A, B, C, D. Okay? So that's what the Gemara answers. But now they say, wait a minute. V'ha, but we have cases that are two and have A, B, A, B. Okay? So what are what's that? And this is actually interesting because this is the one. Ha bame behema yotza, bame eina yotza. Delo avsha, where there's not a lot of cases. Bekatane yotze gamal. Okay, now this is interesting because bame behema yotza is makbil to bame isha yotza. And bame isha yotza, right? What can there's a right? One parak is bame isha yotza, and the next, I think it's the next. I forget what the order is. I think first the woman, then the behema.
Yeah.
Generally, that's the order, I would hope. But you think the animal might have been first in this case? I also think so. Right. I seem to remember something about it. Okay. Oh, you know what? We can see right here because Shabbat Nun Aleph is this, and Shabbat Nun Zion. You're right. It's the behema is first. Okay. Kalakavod. You always remember. Okay. So the behema, it's Dafka A, B, A, B. And the, right? And it's only two cases. Now, I say all the more so. It's strange because you would think that the two prakim that are one right after the other and are exact same structure would be the same. Now, one obvious answer, by the way, is that these Mishnayot were memorized by Al-Peh, right? Some people might have memorized and ABBA was easier for them, and some might have memorized ABAB. So when they got written down, you know, they took it from this guy, they took this one, and from that guy, they took another one, you know, and different people had different ways of memorizing. It's a very, you know, easy historical answer. So the Gemara anyway says, if you're going to say it's a lot versus two, right, every time it's two, it's going to be ABBA. Every time it's more than two, it's going to be ABC, ABC. Okay? That doesn't work because of this one. So then, what's the answer? Ella lavda. We're going to read the first answer today, and then we'll read the next answer tomorrow. Ella lavdafka. You don't have to say that. Zimnin mefarish ahu depatach bereisha. Zimnin ahu desalik mefarish bereisha. Now, sometimes it's the first one, you know, A, B, A, B, and sometimes it's A, B, B, A, which is kind of like what I said, although I explained it a little more, right? In other words, maybe it was different people, right? Here they're just saying that the Gemara seems to talk about it as if there's an assumption that it was one Tana. And the way they're answering is that sometimes he did it this way, sometimes he did it that way. But really, we know that it wasn't one Tana. Even though Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi put together the Mishnah, he compiled it. He didn't write it from scratch. So he compiled Mishnayot, and very likely he compiled one from this guy and one from that guy, and that's how it came out. Okay? And that's one possible answer. And then we'll see it's going to go on a little more. Okay. See, each Masechet has a whole different... By the way, Nedarim, there's a whole bunch of Masechetot that have a very different style. Even words are going to be different here. There's certain words, very interesting, certain words that are translated in all of Shas in a particular manner, and in this Masechet and a few other Masechetot, it's different. It's like the version that we have of Nedarim and a few other Mishnah are like a different... It's a whole different genre. So you'll see, it's not just different in terms of the issues it's discussing, but also some of the stylistic things are different, which will be interesting to see. Yeah, what did you want to ask?
Why is there no Tosfot? Why is there the run?
So why is there no Tosfot? I have to look into it. I don't know. It could be Tosfot didn't comment on it. It's also part of the thing that unifies this Gemara. Right, I don't remember what...
Yesterday, an introduction, I just heard the end.
Okay.